Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 201 of A Wrestling Gal Podcast, providing you with the female perspective on all things wrestling. Join me, your host and wrestling enthusiast, Ella J. As today, I am joined by one of Canada's brightest stars, Zoe Sager. Now let's chat! Hello, everybody. Today, I am joined by one of Canada's brightest stars, Zoe Sager. So how are you doing today?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I am fantastic to be chatting with you. Canada is finally, like, the borders are back open and, like, returning to wrestling. So yes. I am so happy about that, to get some lovely Canadians back here in the U.S. And I'm sure that a lot of U.S. is longing to go back to Canada. So I'm super excited about that. I don't know how you feel about that, but I'm excited that the borders back open.
I'm super excited because I'm still, like, relatively new, and I haven't gotten a chance to, like, go across the border yet, and that's something that's, like, a big goal of mine. Mm-hmm. And so, like, with borders finally starting to open, it's very exciting. Lots of things that, like, could happen.
That's for sure. But, you know, looking back on this, I guess it's like not even 18 months. It's probably like 20 months at this point now. How have you managed to stay positive or sane throughout this last year and a half plus of craziness in the world?
You know, it was tough. It was very, very tough. At the very, very beginning of the pandemic, there was like literally nothing was open, everything shut down. But then I think a couple months in, a new like wrestling school opened up here in Edmonton where I live, and so I spent for the first couple months literally like I was in that building 7 days a week, which was it was a lot. And so like that helped keep me sane, and obviously there were like down moments and like, oh, because it was only training and no shows. And it was like, oh, when are the shows going to come back? Because I was like expecting, like, when it first happened, it was like August, because maybe shows will be back. And then it kept on getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. And it was just like, oh, I'm doing all this training and I'm learning all these cool learning and like doing all these cool things and nobody can see it. Cool. It ended up being like fine. Lots of fun, learned so much in that year off of shows, so much more than I probably would have had there been shows for that year. So looking back, it's a lot more positive than like in the moment, I think.
Yeah, of course, you know, it was crazy for everybody, but I feel like in wrestling specifically, like you said, it gave you more time to kind of target certain things and train more. So I'm curious, was there anything you specifically targeted to progress or make better during that time, or something you said you learned some cool new stuff? What is some of that cool new stuff or something that you worked on specifically during that time?
I think like it's wrestling related.
Okay.
But getting like into the gym more, mm-hmm. Was something that I was able to do through the pandemic. Like leading up until then, I didn't like really truly know how to work out. I'd go like and try my best, but like was whatever. But during the pandemic, I was able to like really focus on like building strength and getting into a better shape for like wrestling, because I was like in all right shape and whatever, but just never gotten to like the shape that I actually like wanted to be in. Just never had the time, or like was never able to like mentally get in it, I guess. And so that was something that I was really able to focus on throughout the pandemic.
do you feel like you're at a point now where like getting into actual shape and like working out is like a daily routine that's kind of built into you now? Or do you find it like you still have to consciously think about it?
Honestly, it's like a daily routine. Okay. It's like just kind of something that I do. I get home from work and then I have like a little bit of time to like get a couple of things done, and then I leave right for the gym. And so it's like, it's what I've been doing for a year now. So it's habit now.
Yeah. Very nice. The pandemic, I feel like, allowed a lot of people to develop new habits, good or bad, or hobbies too as well. But yours obviously is positive because it relates to your conditioning and wrestling and all of that. So do you think that now that you've been kind of been able to get into this routine of wrestling, that it has made your transition back into actual shows and wrestling a little bit easier?
Yeah, I think so. Shows ended up like fitting really well into the routine that I already had. Mm-hmm. With the promotion that I'm working for primarily at the moment, it started out being like just every Friday. And so taking driving the 3 hours to Calgary from Edmonton to get to the show on Friday fit in really well in that time slot that usually I would head to the gym. And so like it flowed really nicely, and then it kept on being a routine because they're running every week. And so it's very, very nice to have that routine.
Of course, too. And like we said, like wrestling is slowly getting back into the swing of things in Canada. So now that you are officially back, what are some of the things that you think you're most looking forward to as you return to wrestling regularly now? Hopefully it stays that way.
I very much hope that it does. I think being able to work with a lot of the people that I hadn't worked with or didn't get a chance to work with a whole lot pre-pandemic. Like there's a lot of girls who right before the pandemic I started working with a little bit, mm-hmm. and then everything shut down, like didn't work with them. Luckily I was able to train with most of them like in the pandemic, and being able to get close to them. As well as mostly just working with new and different people that I haven't gotten a chance to.
Now, is Ava Lawless one of those? Because I love her.
Yes.
I love her so much.
specifically, Ava Lawless and Taryn from Accounting.
Mm-hmm.
Just, we've had some of my favorite matches that I've had in my career so far. It's been awesome.
Now, what about working with those two specifically makes them your favorite? Is it like the in-ring chemistry, or do you guys just have fun when you go out there?
Yeah, so in-ring chemistry, and like me and Taryn, because we both live in Edmonton, Ava lives in Calgary,
mm-hmm.
But me and Taryn, like we trained the entire pandemic together. And so we had this whole year of like learning new things and improving ourselves and becoming like the both of us have ever been in wrestling, and being able to be like, and like put plans, like we want to like prove like we are as good as like we think we are, and like so being able to like go through the entire pandemic like training and being like, oh, when are we going to be able to show this stuff, and now being able to do that. And then with Ava, it's been awesome because I met her like right from when I first started wrestling, mm-hmm. when I first met her. And so like being able to, and that I've seen like her entire like growth as a wrestler. And so it's like really, really cool to see that.
Yeah. And it's cool too, that I feel like this pandemic has really brought people together, like not only obviously in wrestling, but like in general. Like you said, you and Taryn like would train all the time, so obviously you guys are gonna kind of know each other's like strengths and weaknesses inside the ring and all of that. But pivoting gears a little bit, I have a question, it which relates to my follow-up question, but how competitive would you rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10?
At the very least an 8, like very minimum an 8. I'm a fairly competitive person.
I would say that's very competitive.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. I ask this. It makes sense that you would rate yourself at the very least an 8, probably a 9 or 10, though, depending what it is, I would assume. But I ask this because obviously before wrestling, you took part in, I would say, 2 highly competitive sports in swimming and rugby. So I'm curious to know how you got involved in those 2 sports specifically, and like, what was the timeline of each of those?
So originally with swimming, when I was like a really young kid, I lived in this very small town. Like, I've lived in a village.
So like in the summers, swimming was just kind of like what you did. Mm-hmm. And then I just continued on doing that. When my family moved to Edmonton, there was actually an actual like swim team for the high school. And mm-hmm. so I'm like, oh, I loved mm-hmm. swimming, doing that as a kid. So I'll continue doing that. And then with rugby, my older sister, when she went to high school, there was like rugby tryouts, and she's like, oh, I'll go try that out. It'll be fun. And then like when I would go to see her games, I'm like, oh, this is like really, really cool and like hard hitting. And like, it looks like a lot of fun. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna play rugby. And so just kind of went from there and just fell in love with the game and played it for 5 years and just loved it. And then if it wasn't for pro wrestling, I mm-hmm. honestly think I probably would have continued playing, and or at least tried to continue playing and probably go into club and stuff.
Now, how time consuming or grueling was your schedule between swimming and rugby and school and everything else you did in high school?
So luckily, the swim season and rugby season were never like connected.
Okay.
And so like at the beginning of the year it was swimming, mm-hmm. And it was just like early mornings, and I tended to get up early anyways, and so like it ended up working out. And then just doing schoolwork. Rugby season was a little bit more difficult, just because practices would start right at the end of school and go till like 7 p.m.
Oh,
and then
God.
If I had anything like mm-hmm. going on afterwards, or if I had a lot of homework or anything, it was like had to get it done, because there wasn't a whole lot of time like after school to get it done. And if I didn't get it done right away, it probably wasn't going to get done, because mm-hmm. I wasn't the greatest of students, but it ended up being so much fun. I've made like lifelong friends in both. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Yeah. I did a lot of sports in like middle school and high school too, like volleyball and softball, and I did basketball for a bit.
Yeah.
So like I understand that mentality, and like it each sport being in a different season, when you had like, then you had no time though, except like during breaks, and even sometimes then you would have practices. So like I understand that. I'm curious, like I've never been a swimmer, but I feel like the conditioning for swimming is insane, but I might also be really wrong. So what was the conditioning or training like for swimming? Because I've heard some like horror stories about how grueling it is, but again, I could be completely wrong.
So I don't know if like my experience was just like different.
Okay.
Just because originally like it was just in a small village when I was like a really young kid, and so they didn't try and like kill us with the like conditioning and stuff. And then maybe in high school, like just because I think it was just like within the city, I don't know how many of the like high schools in the surrounding cities had like swim teams, mm-hmm. just because they didn't have pools near them. That's why it wasn't as bad. Like it was like conditioning and like hard, but it wasn't like crazy like what I've seen online of like schools. And I'm like, okay, my experience was different. Like we didn't have any like, I've seen videos of like them having to do like weight training, and we never did that. All of our conditioning was like in the pool, and so it was like tough, but ultimately it was like mostly just getting cardio up.
Fair enough. Now, throughout all your work in swimming, how actually good of a swimmer were you?
I was not very good. Aww. I did it just because, like, I just love swimming.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was, like, fine. I, like, made it to, like, cities all 3 years. But, like, it was in, like, very specific. It was only ever in freestyle. That's the only one that I was ever, like, decently quick at. But still is, like, mostly just doing it because it was fun.
Fair. And I mean, especially during that time, you want to do stuff you're enjoying because God knows high school, there's a lot of drama and, you know, stress with
exactly
and all of that. So, I mean, if that can be your escape, you know, then so be it. Good on you, you know.
Yeah.
I'm curious, though, if do you have any memorable or bizarre game day or meet day moments from either rugby or swimming?
I mean, it wasn't like, I remember because with, my sister's only 2 years older than me. So there was like a good amount of time that like we'd be at tournaments like together. And so we'd pack like a giant duffel bag just with snacks. Like, and it was like a huge duffel bag and just like, hey, does anybody, or people would ask like, hey, do you have like this? And like, pull it out. There you go.
So you had the stash. Okay.
I had the stash of snacks. So me and my sister would be like, anybody who needed anything, like even if it wasn't snacks, like we just like had everything. Do you have a Band-Aid? Yep. Here you go. Do you have like water? Yeah. Here's an extra water. Do you have Gatorade? Here. Like, it was just like, we'd throw stuff at people and it was like the magic bag of stuff.
The walking supply store. Oh my God. That's exactly. So amazing. It works out though. But speaking of competition, do you have any specific board game or card game that you think that you are the most competitive in? Because I feel like we all have at least one.
The one card game, probably, I guess Dutch Blitz is like one of them. It's like matching like colors and numbers up to 13, I think, and you just have to like run through the cards, and it's wild and gets like very, very competitive, especially right close to the end when everybody's trying to like get rid of all their cards.
I've actually never heard of that game, so I don't know if it's, maybe I just live under a rock, or I don't know if it's Canadian.
I only learned about it like a couple of years ago, like one of my friends introduced it to me, and before then I had never heard of it before. But after that, it's like, once you like, it takes a little bit to catch on and figure out like little nuances to it. But then once you do it, it's like super fast and like can get very, very wild.
I'm going to have to look into that because the holidays are coming up, which means family parties. So I'm going to have to look into that and probably teach myself, but I love learning like new card. You know, I learned so many new card games or like board games or like party games, like from online or like YouTube or from other people. It's cool at the age that we live in sometimes.
Yes,
it really is.
For sure.
But switching gears here, I'm curious, as obviously you get back into wrestling, you're going to be going out there behind the curtain and all of that. Do you have any certain mantras or have a certain backstage routine you do leading up to that moment that you walk through the curtain for your entrance?
I tend to do like a lot of pacing. I don't like have like a specific mantra or anything. And honestly, it depends on the match and how nervous I am.
Fair.
Because some matches, even if it's, like, against, like, Taryn, who have had so many matches against, like, every so often there's just that one match where you, like, get wildly nervous for no reason. Or for a reason and you just don't know why. But mostly mine is, like, a lot of pacing and back and forth and just waiting for my music to start playing and for the MC to like stop talking and get to the match so that way I can get it over with. And because once I'm in front of the fans, I know I'm going to be like perfectly fine, no nerves, and it'll be awesome. But leading up to that moment is very nerve-wracking.
Yeah, I feel like it, in a lot of things too, it's kind of like sports too. Like, you know, you're anticipating something, but then I feel like you just run on adrenaline through a moment and you're not as nervous. Like, does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. As soon as like I'm out in front of fans, like it's a totally different ball game, but right behind the curtain, I'm like pacing and trying to not think about like how nervous I am.
Yeah. Just, it's like, just let me go, you know?
Yeah.
But you mentioned music and I'm so glad you bring that up. So I'm curious if you could have any artist or singer or band perform any live entrance music for you, who would you choose and why?
Paramore.
Oh, I love that answer.
I recently, like, since coming back from the pandemic, changed my music to Paramore.
Interesting. Okay.
Just like the instrumental version, just because for funsies, but I would love to have Hayley Williams play me to the ring. It would be like so cool and so awesome, and just like, oh, it would be like so wild to have that happen too.
Now, what was your entrance music before the pandemic? Or what was the vibe of it?
It was I Am by Killing Heidi. It was in like a Spider-Man, one of the Spider-Man movies, I think. And that one, I was on. So right now I'm on my third entrance music because I am very back and forth with like what I want sort of thing. So my first one was Biff Naked, and then it was the Killing Heidi. And both of those were like a little bit more like guitar heavy and whatever, which like I love. But like with the Biff Naked one, it was just like I needed an entrance music and I needed an entrance song, and it was like the day of, and I'm like, I don't know what to choose. I'll say this one. And then I was on like a tour out to Manitoba, and just like I'm bored of my music, let's one of the guys was like, hey, why don't you use this one? And I'm like, sure, I love it, and use that for not very long either. I think it was only like the last 3 months before the pandemic, and I'm like, okay, like I liked it, but like it wasn't quite getting the vibe across that I wanted. And then I've always very much enjoyed Paramore. And so I was listening to, so my music is Born for This by Paramore. And just like that last little bit of the song, that last little riff, the like thing, and like it was stuck in my head one day. And I'm like, I wonder if there's like an instrumental version of this, because like it would just be like really cool. And then I found one. I'm like, cool. As soon as shows are back, we're using it. And just kind of went with that.
You know what I find though? A lot of like just instrumental or like some acoustic versions, I like more of the song. I feel like fit it better. Sometimes like the stripped backed part of the songs like make them even better. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm like, I love like the words to the song. Of course. Love the song. I love Paramore. But I'm like, I feel like it takes away from the vibe of like what I want from the song, unless it's like just that end bit. I'm like, I can't just have that end bit. Yeah. Can you repeat for the entire entrance? So I'm like, if I do the instrumental, it'll get the vibe across and it won't like ruin anything.
And you've certainly had a lot of time to think about that through the pandemic. Yes. So that's a great song. And it makes it different too. I think like, a lot of the times people just go for the songs. I don't know if many people who just take like the instrumental to a song that they love. I don't think a lot of people do that in professional wrestling.
Yeah. I think also like sometimes it's really hard to find the instrumental. True. Cause like mine isn't even like a Paramore instrumental. It's like some karaoke like YouTube account that did it, but didn't change like the pitch of it. Because all the other ones that I could find were like the pitch was changed or like this, or it wasn't actually instrumental. And I'm like, okay, this isn't what I want.
No. God, it has to be just right.
Yes.
Now to close things out, I wanted to talk all things fall, since we are now finally in the season of fall, my favorite season personally.
Just mine as well.
Great. Amazing. I'm glad we're on the same wavelength. I'm curious, what are some of your favorite fall trends or just favorite aspects of fall or autumn? I guess where some people call it autumn too as well.
I love the colors. Mm-hmm. Just the colors and like being outside when it's like one of the nicer days of fall. I love just like taking a walk in like a leafy, like maybe not forested area because I live in the city, but like treed area, mm-hmm. and being able to see all the like, especially like mid-September, beginning of October, like when the oranges and stuff are still mm-hmm. super vibrant. It's like my favorite thing to just like go and like look at all the leaves and stuff, and then the leaves are starting to be all crunchy and it's awesome.
Now I'm curious, like since fall is your favorite season, what is like your ideal temperature? And I have my thing right now to do the Celsius to Fahrenheit like conversion, so I just want to see how it compares to mine.
So maybe like 20 to 22. Anything more, it's like too hot. Anything less, it's too cold. Like it has to be just that like right, and then the sun shining as well.
Okay, so that's about 68 to like 71 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah,
that's like 5 degrees warmer than how I prefer it, but still in the same ballpark. I definitely am not a fan of like super hot, which is why I'm so glad it's finally fall.
Yes. See, that's what, like, I prefer fall to, like, spring, like, because I like them both as, like, my top two, just because you get the, like, pullover from, like, summer, mm-hmm. and so I feel like it's a warmer temperature, even if it's the same temperature, it's a warmer temperature.
Yeah, I agree, and plus, like, seeing all the colors, I mean, obviously, going into winter, it dies down, but it's just, like, sweater weather, and I'm so ready, and I'm so excited.
Yes.
I'm curious, too, we're also in the midst of spooky season with Halloween coming up, so do you have any memorable or favorite Halloween costumes from the past?
I was Spike from Degrassi Junior High when I was in grade 8. Spiked my hair up straight. And I remember two of my teachers asking where the baby was. And I'm like, like, this is pre-pregnancy Spike.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And that's like the only thing, the only actual like memorable like wearing a costume thing. And then I think I was Becky Lynch 1 year in high school, but.
Love that.
Yes. Those are my two most memorable costumes, and I don't have pictures of either of them.
Now, kind of sad. Was this last kick Becky? I'm assuming with like the goggles and all of that, and like the, not cape, but you know what I mean.
Yes. Except for I didn't like go full out.
Okay.
Really, it was just an excuse to wear, a Becky t-shirt to school.
Fair.
Which I did all the time anyways, but just like wore t-shirt and shorts, and but I did get a wig and goggles.
Oh my god. Was it an orange wig? Oh my god,
of course.
That's amazing.
Of course it was an orange wig.
I love that. I'm honestly shocked that your parents kind of your teachers understood the Degrassi reference.
I went like full out, like I had my mom's hairspray my hair just like straight up, mm-hmm. just like did it, and I had like my one teacher was like younger, like around my parents' age, and that's when my mom grew up like mm-hmm. watching, and so I think they just happened to watch it, and so like I think it, the one teacher got it without me having to like explain it. And then the other ones, as soon as I said it, they're like, oh, I know that. But yeah, it was awesome.
Still, I'm impressed. I'm impressed. I got two more questions for you, by the way.
Yes.
If you could have any fictional or mythological creature be your tag team partner for an evening, who would you choose and why? Or what would you choose? Not really who.
Oh,
could be like a witch, a vampire, a werewolf, a ghost. I mean, I don't know how much power they'd have. You'd go right through them.
Hmm. know what? I'm on a Buffy kick right now, so I'm going to say vampire. just for funsies. I feel like it would be sweet.
Although I think biting's illegal in, is it? Depends what match you're in. I
say it is.
Okay.
It's probably illegal, but like maybe it's one of those like Sheamus and Cesaro type tag team things where like they hate each other. Mm-hmm. We hate each other. I feel like it would just be helpful. I mean, they're immortal, so they're like,
fair.
They're not gonna just like tap out. Like, you, I feel like I could trust them to like not lose the match for me.
Yeah, you would just have to be sure that it's not a match during the day, since they're allergic to the light.
Yeah,
you have to be sure it's at night.
Well, or it's a venue that doesn't have windows.
True. Very true. That'd be interesting. Zoe Sager, and imagine it's just like Buffy.
Love it.
Oh my god. Now lastly, we're all about hashtag girl power here on A Wrestling Gal. So is there any female in your personal or professional life that inspires or empowers you the most?
There's a couple.
Okay.
And I'm gonna go back to like the two girls that I've talked about before, like with Taryn and Ava, because they're like just so awesome. And then as well as Gigi Ray, who is now down in the States and has worked a couple of shows for like Mission Pro Wrestling. And I think she did a reality of wrestling show.
I believe so. And, yeah. Ironically, I was just looking at her Twitter account like right before this.
And because like she started training up here in Edmonton, and just like those three girls are just like so awesome, and it's just, I love working with them. Yeah, and like it's just like crazy to see, like, yeah, it's just fun. We're all like really good friends, and like, yeah, love them all.
It's so good, especially to surround yourself in like what's supposed to be considered like a selfish business in wrestling, but it's so important to like have healthy like connections and relationships with like your peers who you're working with, especially
for sure.
Not only in wrestling, but like in life in general, I think.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, Zoe, can you please tell the listeners where they can find you on all your social medias?
Yes. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter. Instagram is Zoe_Sager. And on Twitter, you can find me at SagerZoe, because one of them wasn't available and the other.
Come on, Instagram.
I know. It's so silly.
I know. But you know, the people know now where to find you.
Exactly. And
thank you so much for joining me today, Zoe. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Of course. And I look forward to, if you're ever down in the States, I am not too far from the Peace Bridge from Buffalo, New York. So you'll have to let me know if you're ever in the States.
Of course.
Thank you so much for joining me today again.
Well, thank you for having me.